man. If you haven't been to church tonight, you haven't been to church. Amen.
I want to say this too.
Go ahead.
I've only known him a short time, but I love this man.
Amen.
You can't help but be with him, but not to love him.
Thank
Eddie,
you.
He's real. No showboat, just a plain old fella. Doesn't try to walk. He just loves God.
Amen.
Loves God. Loves souls. He's got a heart for the missions.
God.
Yeah, he does. And he's got a great wife. They both are sold out for God.
Amen.
Please, the old boy.
Amen.
We are such a kindred spirit. It's
Amen.
Unbelievable.
That's true.
And I'm glad you're here, preacher.
Amen.
Yeah, we were glad that you could come and be with us. He's been a blessing. He's going to be a blessing. How many of you glad here say amen?
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you, preacher. God bless you. Thank you. I told my wife, there's not a lot of churches that I go to that treat us as well as you do. In fact, I don't think we've ever been any church that treats us this well. I'm serious. Am I telling the truth, babe? And I told my wife, I said, you know, I haven't met Brother Skyver but just for a few minutes one day at a funeral. It wasn't mine or his, so I knew we'd see each other again. Amen. I told her, I said, you know, I haven't seen him but once, and I love that guy. He's going to be my friend. I can tell that already. Because we believe the book. Man, you got too many preachers today, don't even know what they believe, much less the book. Amen? Man, I tell you what. Folks, I have a real burden on my heart. This is Paraguay. All these pictures my wife took in Paraguay. This is a newsletter that we send out. This right here is a picture of the land in Paraguay. If I could, I'm just being honest with you folks, God's never done like anything like this for me. To me, for me, whatever. God's never burdened my heart with a desire to help a church, a needy church that doesn't even have a building to meet in. I went out to your property today, and I looked out there, boy, 30 acres?
Amen.
Whoa, glory to God, you are blessed people.
Yes.
My soul. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, aren't you blessed? I mean, my goodness. And then I saw this tabernacle building out there. I said, preacher, that's it. He said, it cost about $15,000 to build that. I said, for $4,000, I could build that and put walls on it. In Paraguay. Folks, this is the land in Paraguay. These are the people, the poorest people I've ever been in. I've never seen poverty. I've been in four foreign countries and never seen poverty like this. Not one of them ever asked me to do a thing for them, but God laid it on my heart. And we do love missions. Get a prayer card. Pray for us. But on the back of the prayer card, I really believe with all of my heart, and it is difficult for me to ask for anything. But I have learned what Philippians 4:17 really means when it says, not that I desire gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account,
yeah.
Preacher. Right. Not that Jerry Linebarger needs anything, because God takes care of us in a miraculous way. But we have a need, and if God could lay it on your heart to help us, then please help us. We have to raise $10,000 by July. And I'll be honest with you, we're within $3,200 having it raised. And God is so good. And I just must say that if the Lord lays it on your heart to help us, please do. I could not believe it, folks. I went, preached a revival. Man called me. He said he was at a revival that I was preaching. He was a pastor of a church, and he came 3 or 4 nights to this revival. And he said, "I want you to come preach for me and preach revival. We need it now." And I said, "I don't have any time." He said, "But could you come?" He said, "What could you give me?" I said, "I've got an opening where I could call a preacher and maybe work something out." And I said, "How about Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday? Because Wednesday I start another meeting in Detroit." He said, "Come, preach." I'm telling you, folks, in Bono, Ohio. Have you ever been to Bono?
Oh, yeah, I have.
The city limit signs are back to back. That's how small this town is. I got out to Bono, and the first thing I thought about was Sonny Bono. Had must have been here. Oh, it had to be. That little church. Packed out. Over 100 at the altar. We had teenagers walking the aisle and getting saved. And this lady came on Sunday morning, and she came weeping at the altar, and my wife dealt with her. And she said, "I have a son, and my son's a teenage boy. He's 16, 17 years old, and he hates God, and he hates life, and he hates everything about life, and he won't come to church." I said, "Let's pray." We got over in the corner and we began to pray and ask God to take this young man and just strike his heart. I said, "You go home and you get that young man and you bring him to church tonight. He'll come." I was standing at the back of the church. She came in, had a nice looking young man with her. She said, "This is my son." He said, "My mama made me come." I said, "Son, I don't care what made you come. You're here. Praise God." That boy walked the aisle and got saved that night. Woo! Glory to God. Man, it was good. I said all that because the preacher mentioned this diamond ring. I've never even told anyone. That's the first preacher I've told about this diamond ring, I believe. A lady put this diamond ring on the altar. Folks, I've been preaching 40 years. I'm not a novice at this thing, but I've never had that happen before. And she put a little note on her, "Sell this ring and give it to the church in Paraguay." Woo, man. I wanted to give it back. And my wife said, don't rob her of a blessing. Didn't know what to do. So I took it to a jeweler and I said, "Would you tell me how much is this worth?" And he did. He said about $550, $600 wholesale. And I said, okay. Lord, it's yours. You know what to do with it. I've never had this situation before. I've never told anybody. It's the last first time I've ever told a church preacher. But she gave it, and I believe it was a sacrifice. I really do. It's not the most beautiful ring. It's a beautiful ring, but it's not the most good. It's not something that's going to take my breath away, but I guarantee you it's pretty. And she sacrificed that to give. And that just, to me, that's just God saying it's real. This thing is real. I don't know, but I know this. My God is a real God.
Amen.
Dios la paga. How many of you know Spanish? Good, because if I messed it up, you won't know the difference. God will provide. Amen? God always provides. But I found out something, preacher. God uses His people to do it with. Amen? Your preacher has helped me so much. Man. He said, Brother Jerry, don't be ashamed to ask. I said, well, I've never asked. I just let God handle it. So, folks, God will provide, but God uses His people to do it. A few years ago, on a Tuesday morning, there were some idiots. Y'all call them terrorists, that attacked the United States of America.
Yeah.
How devastating it was to see the Twin Towers in New York City crumble to the ground. I remember that day well. A disaster. And then I remember not too long after that, bombings in London. A disaster. Devastation and disaster. And then came the hurricane Katrina. I strongly believe that disasters and events that have happened in the last few years, I believe, preacher, they're only the beginning of the events that our Lord will use to turn the hearts and minds of this world back to Him. I really believe that. We need to realize, folks, that we are living in the last days. I really believe that. Times and events and headlines in the morning's paper. And the fact that all of these things are happening, listen, I read in the Bible where Pharaoh was given many, many signs from God. And I believe this world is being given signs from God. I personally believe that as we sit and watch these events take place, that God is sending two messages. Number one, to this wicked world, and that message is repent, repent, repent. And number two, to the lazy, lackadaisical, I mean carefree church, win the lost. Win the lost. Win the lost. Listen, folks, immediately after Katrina, immediately, they interviewed survivors. Weeks went by, and the media interviewed survivors of Katrina. And do you realize? Listen, when I heard them on the TV and the radio preacher, I didn't hear one of them say, "Where's my Cadillac? Where's my SUV? Where's my diamond ring? Where's my bank account?" You know what they said? "Where are my children? Where's my mama? Where's my dad? Where's my grandmother? Oh, where are..." Listen, why does it take a disaster to be concerned about the people of the world? When are we as a church going to get a hold of the fact that we have a job to do, we have souls to reach, we have many to go out and tell about the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them the truth? Amen?
Amen.
Why does it take a disaster? Why does it take, if you will, an act of God? What does God have to do to get a hold of His people to say, "Hey, I need you to do the work that I left you to do"? I said this morning, tell the truth. What is truth? Turn with me tonight to Galatians chapter 4, verse 15. What is truth? 2 Corinthians 13:8 says, "For we can do nothing against the truth." In John 18 and verse 37, Pilate looked into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, "What is truth?" And in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John chapter 8 and verse 32, the Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In Psalms 119 and verse 43, "Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. In the book of Galatians tonight, let's stand as we read from the Word of God, the truth of God. Oh, listen. I love this scripture. Preacher, I like all the scripture, amen, but there's some I just really love. Man, you know what? I love it when Paul gets excited, and I mean, he just, you ever lose it when you're in the pulpit? Woo! I asked the wrong man, didn't I? Woo! Glory to God, I knew I loved this church. I mean, you know, every once in a while you just get in the flesh, amen? Wherein, the Bible says, then is the blessedness you speak of, for I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy if I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they exclude you that you might affect them. But is it good to be zealous, affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you? Now I want to stop and go back to verse 16. Bible said, "Am I therefore become your enemy if I tell you the truth?" Precious Father, oh Lord, tonight, Lord, I pray with all of my heart that I'd be truthful from your word. Lord, you've always been truthful with me. Lord, you've always showed me the way. But tonight, as I stand before your people, I pray, dear Father, the Holy Spirit would convict and convey this message to hearts tonight. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who's lost without Jesus, they'd find him tonight. But I pray more than that tonight. I pray for the church tonight, Father, to be quickened unto the obedience of a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, that we might be found faithful, faithfully serving you, faithfully witnessing for you, faithfully, Father, giving to you, faithfully working for you. And Lord, I pray you touch hearts tonight. Not because this evangelist stands in your holy, blessed pulpit, but because, Lord, I desire to be a blessing to your people. And I desire, Lord, to serve you in a great and mighty way. And I thank you and I love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll find in the text that we read tonight that Paul is writing to the church at Galatia. And he is saying, what has happened to you, church? You were fine spiritually. You were mature in the spirit. You were growing. You had such a great love for the lost. And I mean, you had a great love for God and for the Lord. And there was a time when you would have done anything for God or for me in that matter. But look at you now. He said you are cold, indifferent, backslidden, and careless. Why? Because you've let the Satanists in your church, the astrologers, the soothsayers, and the false teachers have come in and they've robbed you of the joy of your salvation. Yeah. Now, folks, let me tell you something. You and I know as old-fashioned, Bible-believing, independent, fundamental Baptists, Brother, once you're saved, I'm as sure for heaven as if I was already there. You can't take it. You can't rob it. You can't steal it. I can't lose it. I am there, sealed until the day of redemption. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. That ought to make a dead Baptist shout.
Amen.
Amen. But I'll tell you one thing, folks. You can lose the joy of yourself.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
I mean, just read the Psalms. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. I mean this. Listen, if you're not careful, the devil, Satan himself, false teachers, your immature acts of lack of spiritual growth will rob you of the joy of your salvation. Will rob you of the joy of serving and walking with the Lord. And serving God. And rob you of the joy that's in the Lord. And I see here in the Scriptures, watch this now. Paul gets angry, preacher. And rightfully so. Hey, he said, you're the great church. A wonderful church when I was there. I mean, man, you have let spiritual maturity turn it into works. Look how, I mean, woo, man, you talk about getting a hold of somebody. Look how he begins this letter in chapter 1 of Galatians, verse 6 and 7. I marvel, the Bible says, that you are so soon removed from that that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which was not another, but there be some among you, now listen to this carefully, that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but that's in about every church in America today. Amen? Hey, listen, folks. I'm going to tell you something. This pulpit, I'm going to tell you, this pulpit, this is holy ground.
Amen?
Amen? And that preacher's got to guard this pulpit with a guard as a watchman. Amen? But there's a problem. You see, in almost every church, and I don't know anything about you. You know what your preachers told me about you? Said you're the best people on earth. I never had a preacher tell me that about their church. Never. No, most of them curse their... No, that's... He did. He said you're the best people on earth. And I believe it because he said it was so. But I'm going to tell you something. And I believe this. Listen, there are many, many churches, and it may be this way, and I don't know about it, you don't know about it, he don't know about it. But hey, listen, you know, there are always those that want to micromanage everybody's life. Amen? I mean, tell you, they'll find everything that is scripturally, is unscriptural and wrong. And I, the preacher teaches this, and the preacher believes that, and it sounds good, but...
Yeah.
Butts are for billy goats. Amen?
Yeah.
Hey, but my TV evangelist said, woo, huh? I heard my TV evangelist the other day. Listen, come on now. If you want to believe a lie of Satan, if you want to hear another gospel, just turn on your TV or your radio, amen. You listen to some of the things that are coming out for their own gain, for their own personal wealth. They would pervert the gospel, and some of you will believe that stuff. Amen. Listen, I was listening to a guy one time. I was going through, and I like to listen to this one channel that has gospel singing, and it was on television. And there was a guy on there, and I thought, man, he's a pretty good preacher. Whoa, I really liked him, man. He was preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, risen, coming again. I said, whoa, I like this preacher. I was in his amen corner. Woo! Man, I'm just going fireball crazy. And all of a sudden, he started talking about the time that he was taken up into the third heaven. And how that he had a vision from God. You know? And a lady coughed up a malignant tumor and sent it to him. He prayed over it, sent it back, and she was cancer-free. Amen. Don't believe that garbage. Hey, listen, if it's not out of the book, it's not real, folks. Amen? Read the book. Look with me in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians! Who hath bewitched you, the Bible says, that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been set, evidently crucified among you? And he said, you're foolish for not believing the truth. This one I learned of you received of the spirit of works or by the law or hearing of the faith. In other words, folks, what spirit controls you? I mean, which spirit controls you? The spirit of obedience or the spirit of truth or the spirit of disobedience? Amen. And in verse 3, he said, are you so foolish? And he stops. He said, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you so mature? And how often do we as born-again Christians, God-loving children of God, get in the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit? Amen? Let me go on. Look with me at this question he asked in Galatians 4:16. That's what I want to preach on tonight. Am I become your enemy if I tell you the truth? Paul calls the Galatians fools for allowing such a tragedy to happen in their life. They had lost the joy of their salvation. Could it be tonight that some of you have lost the joy of serving God and loving God and caring for the things of God? Oh, listen, there's no greater joy in this world than serving God. Amen? Listen, man, I love God. And I love serving God. But sometimes we'll let something or somebody or someone come into our life, come into false teachers, come across the airway and rob us of the joy of our salvation. Where is your joy? Am I become your enemy if I tell you the truth about the joy of serving God? May I say tonight that the average Christian today, as they walk into the house of God, they look like it's their last day on earth. My soul! Looks like they've been baptized in pickle juice, born on the backside of the moon. No joy! No excitement! No enthusiasm! Hey, listen! I want to tell you something, preacher! I got saved! My sins are all gone! My guilt is all gone! Praise God! I'm on my way to heaven! I'm serving Jesus! I'm going to walk with Him! I'm going to be up there kicking up gold dust! Hey, I'm forgiven! That's joy, man! Woo! Glory to God! I'm free, praise God, from the burden of sin. Man, that ought to make a dead Baptist shout. Amen. Now you're afraid to shout, you dead bunch of... Don't you be a hush-you-mouth Baptist with me tonight. Amen. Luke chapter 15 and verse 10, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Whoa, great days. The angels in heaven, I mean, they don't even know a blessed thing about the amazing grace of God. The angels in heaven know nothing about the forgiveness or the loving of a Savior and a suffering Lord. Hey, listen, they shout and rejoice when one person comes to the Lord. The angels in heaven. But not the average church. Huh? Man, you let somebody walk down the aisle, get saved, get forgiven of sin. I mean, you're lucky if you get a holy grunt out of anybody. Amen? Hey, listen, much less people walk down the aisle and shake their hand anymore. When one gets saved, brother, their sins are forgiven. Their guilt is all gone. Hey, they're on their way to heaven. We should rejoice and be joyful and exceedingly glad. Praise God. Maybe that's why we're not outwitting them. Amen? Am I become your enemy if I tell you the truth about this matter of service for God? You know, service for God requires something of you. It's a personal thing. It really is. Is this the water you spit in, Brother Dave? Like nectar from heaven. Amen. I got to tell y'all something. I thought that was the biggest plate I'd ever seen in my life when I looked down there until I saw his plate at lunch today. I've never seen sideboards on a plate before. Amen. I quit preaching and went to meddling, brother. Amen. I got to lighten you up because what I'm fixing to say, you're going to need to have something to lighten on me. Glory to God. I want you to tell me something. When we talk about the service for God, how come 10% of the church is always doing 90% of the work? Amen. I mean, I'll tell you why. Complacency instead of expectancy. We get in our subservient playpens and the things of God become a convenience to us, and serving God ought to be an obedient act toward Him who redeemed us. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. My rewards in heaven are not based on what Brother Dave does. Amen. My rewards in heaven are based on what I do for Him. And you alone are responsible for the service to God. And we've swallowed a lie of Satan and we've got complacency instead of expectancy. Let me prove my point. How many of you tonight expect that you could have someone here next Sunday morning that you won to Jesus Christ? How many of you expect that today? See what I mean? Amen. There's one. Hey, folks. In this matter of service, the word obedience and being an obedient Christian and following the commands of Christ, hey, 112 times in the New Testament, He said, Go ye therefore into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That word means literally to force them if you have to. Amen. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why that my dear wife and I, we put on our prayer card, evangelizing churches around the world because we're just being obedient to the command of God. Amen? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Nowhere in this Bible will you ever find a place where God tells a sinner to go to church. But all throughout the Word of God, you'll find where He told the church to go get the sinner. Amen? Over and over and over. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He gathered out of the hands of the enemy. If you're saved tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Let the redeemed say so. Am I become your enemy tonight? If I tell you the truth about this matter of soul winning, men's souls are in danger and they're condemned to eternal hell. How many of you tonight believe the preacher ought to be a soul winner? Say amen. Hey, how many of you believe that the song leader ought to be a soul winner? Say amen.
Amen.
I wish he'd have said amen. How many of you believe the deacons ought to be a soul winner? Say amen.
Amen.
I believe so too. How many believe Sunday school teachers ought to be soul winners? Say amen.
Amen.
I believe all of that. I believe the deacons and the pastor and the song leader and the staff and all the Sunday school, they ought to be soul winners. But I also believe, according to the Word of God, that you ought to be one also. Amen. Hey, what does God call us?
Sheep.
Sheep. In the animal world, we're sheep. What does He call Him? Shepherd. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm just kind of a slow farm boy from down on the ranch in Texas. But I did find out something when I was down there. Lady told me today, she said, can you say something from the South? I said, how y'all are? How's your mom and them? Amen. I found out this. Shepherds don't produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep. Amen. You may get that by slow freight, but I'm telling you, folks, we've got a job to do. Amen. We've got a lost world to reach. A lost world. People are going to hell, dying on a wholesale fashion. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, and man is dying. He is headed for an eternal hell, a tormenting hell, an everlasting hell, a hell that most people don't really want to hear about. But do you realize that we are God's primary channel for reaching the lost? You see, God, being the absolute authority, could have chosen any venue, any method of reaching the lost. He could have chosen any way he wanted to. However, you know what he did? He chose you. You're a chosen vessel. Amen? Fit for the master's use. And God chose you. And he's given us a command. And the last thing the Lord said as he went up into heaven, as he left, he said, "Even so, send I you." He commanded us to go into all the world. He commanded us to reach, to preach the gospel. A direct order from God. An ordered issue with a compassionate heart of one who had already given all that he had. Could Jesus have given any more for you than he gave? Could he? I don't think so. And what do we give back in return? Am I become your enemy if I tell you the truth about soul winning? The truth are that we're to be loving, obedient Christians to carry out the Great Commission. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We need to be much about the Master's business. How many of you are here tonight because someone cared enough to tell you about Jesus? Amen. You're here because someone cared for your soul. I'm here tonight because someone cared for me. Someone wanted to tell me about Jesus, and I listened, and I got saved. But it can't stop there, folks. It can't stop. You know, I can remember, preacher, when God's children, the church, served God and loved it. I mean, I can remember way back when the church was active and busy for the kingdom of God. And the problem is today we've got professing Christians that live unto themselves. Their time is occupied with making money and doing things and having a good time, and love for God and concern for the lost is lacking. And our love for God is only proven, preacher, by our service for God.
Yes.
Amen. God will never, understand this, never, ever let you go alone. You and God are a majority, and Satan knows that. When we give of our best, God will do the rest. God has already given the very best he has. I'm going to tell you something, man. Hallmark cards really mess the boat. You know? It said, remember their advertisement, when you care enough to send the very best? God cared enough to send the very best. Amen? Do we give in return our very best? See, he expects our best. He expects the best of our love. He expects the best of our gifts. He expects the best of our labor. God has a right to expect that of us. Amen?
Yes.
He really does. Am I become your enemy tonight if I tell you the truth about sin? I touched on sin this morning. The truth about sin is found in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. But your iniquities, the Bible said, have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Let me enlighten you, folks. Not only have your sins hid his face from you, that he will not hear, but I'm going to tell you something. When you have sin in your life, until it's confessed, until it's forgiven, until it's out of the way, he's not going to hear from you and you're not going to hear from him. Amen, Brother Jerry. Sin in your life separates you from God. Your S-I-N, sin, one sin, separated you from salvation. But your S-I-N-S, plural, sin, separates you from the joy of the Lord. Sin can rob you of the joy of your salvation. Sin can rob you of the joy of serving God. Sin can destroy the truth of God. I love that old saying that I heard so many years ago, and it's true today. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you much more than you want to pay. You know, the devil laughs. The devil laughs in the face of God when you sin. You believe that, Brother Jerry? I believe so. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. The Bible said, "And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. You know what that means? That means Satan's in the face of God. Look at old brother Jerry down there. Look at your servant, God. Look at how he really lives his life. Oh, look at brother Ron Black, Lord. Look at his life. Yeah, look at him, God. Is that your servant? Is that what he's doing? Hey, would you look down there at Miss Kim? Did you see the way, did you, that thought that went through her mind? Did you see that, God? God said, I'm sorry, I can't see nothing but blood. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. But why give the devil occasion to laugh in the face of God? Amen. Why do you think we're living in a day of apathy? I'll tell you why, preacher. Because of blatant sin in the house of God. That's why. How come there's so much indifference today? How come there's sin at the house of God? The devil has caused us to understand and to accept confusion instead of contentment. Amen? Being content. See, the problem is we preach a whole lot about sin, but very little about repentance. Amen? Repentance is not preached anymore. Not preached in the house of God. Listen, ever wonder why Christians have no power today? You ever wonder why the church doesn't have any power today? No repentance, no confession, no remorse over sin. Hey, listen, we love to preach about the preachers of old, the D.L. Moody's and the Spurgeon's and the Finley and all that. You know why? Because those men boldly stood against sin. And they named sin in the pulpit. And they stood up a thing that are right. They had great power with God. And the reason is because they'd preach on sin, brother. God has a zero tolerance of sin. And brother, it's a shame today in America. It's absolutely a shame that we don't have that same zero tolerance that God does. We who are called by His name, we who in the church of God today, in the house of God today, we tolerate sin, we embrace sin, we accept it as if it never happened. Nothing said anymore. We allow it into our lives and into our churches. Am I become your enemy if I tell you the truth? Hey, listen, folks. I'm going to tell you something. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let me ask you something. Would some of you go into those places you go to and do some of the things you do if the Lord Jesus Christ, if God's Almighty Son, was with you in person? And if what you're doing is not so wrong, why do we do it in private? Amen, preacher? Whoa, Brother Jerry, that's good preaching. I like that. Amen. Am I become your enemy if I tell you the truth about sin? There was a day. There was a day when I was a young man, not too many years ago, when godly men would boldly stand in the pulpit and they would name sin for what it really was. Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight, brother. We tolerate sin. We embrace sin. After all, it's not sin. It's a disease, preacher. I've got the cure for that disease, folks. It's found right here, the Holy Word of God. Amen? Listen to me, my friends. It's just as much sin today as it was the day when Adam first sinned in the Garden of Eden. I want you to know that I wouldn't be a young person today. Oh, my soul. This young man, I'm going to tell you something. Son, you have got a tremendous job set ahead of you. You entrust your kids to a man that wants to take them and lead them in prayer. Glory to God, man.
Amen.
You entrust your kids. Being a teenager today, you never faced some of the things they have to face.
That's right.
You never went through some of the things that they're going through. I thought I did. Preacher thought he did. But preacher, we've never seen some of the things these young people have to go through today. Every time you turn around, you're being bombarded by sexual innuendo. You know what I mean. Sometimes I get my tongue all tangled up. Amen. Homosexuality is a sin, folks. Bunch of queers running around. You know, I'm not going to call them gays. No, there ain't nothing gay about a queer. Amen. Hey, listen. Most preachers today, they'll preach, well, you know, it's just a different lifestyle. It's an abomination to a holy God. It's not a lifestyle of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, God said He gave them up to a reprobate mind. God said that He repented, that He even made man in Genesis when He saw the sodomites running on the earth. And in Romans, He turned them over to a reprobate mind, lest we forget the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. My friend, be not deceived. God is not mocked. God hates sin, has a zero tolerance of sin. God will not allow sin in His house. Amen. It's an abomination to Him. We got preachers today that are so compromising. They'll have a couple coming to their church. And they're shacking. That's South Texas for living together. Amen. I was in Detroit the other day. A guy came up to me and said, we stays over here. I said, well, I stay right here in the house of God. Amen. You see, we got compromising preachers today. They'll come into the house of God. And I guarantee you, well, we need members. And we need, and you know, they're tithing well. And they're growing. They're growing, preacher. Come on, folks. Are you going to allow sin in the house of God? Or are we going to just lay down and say, okay, devil, have it all? Huh?
Come on.
Let me tell you something, man. God, when He put a man and woman together, the greatest thing He ever did outside of salvation. Amen. Woo! There ain't nothing greater than my sweet baby doll. Man, I told her the other day, I said, you know what, honey? To this world, you're one person. But to this one person, you're my world.
Amen.
Don't you wish I'd have thought that off on my own?
Thank you, Dr. Phil.
I really didn't get it from Dr. Phil, but that sure is funny. See, what we want to do today, we want to bring them into the house of God, and we want to make the carnal man comfortable in the house of God. A comfortable man will never see his need for to get rid of sin and to repent. Hey, listen, the purpose of the church, my friend, is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. Amen. Never see their need for God. Never see their need to change their lifestyle. Never see their need to repent. You see, we've compromised. We've traded compromise for conviction. Conviction. Hey, when's the last time you heard that word? Amen. Woo! Listen, folks. If the Holy Spirit of God's not convicting your heart, you better check up on something. Amen. We don't need comfort. We need the Holy Ghost conviction. A comfortable man in the house of God. The problem is, we have men that want to get saved, but they want to get saved on their terms, not God's. You see, you know, it's a little profession and no repentance. Am I become your enemy if I tell you the truth about... Listen, preaching like this is not very popular in a lot of churches, but I tell you what, y'all take it pretty good, amen? I mean, you know, we got those guys that want that Burger King religion. I'll just have it my way. Or that cafeteria religion. I like that cafeteria religion, man. I'll go by and I'll get a little redemption because I like that. Hey, you know what? But, wait a minute. Now, leave prayer right over there. I just, you know, and Bible reading and Bible studying and skip that plate altogether. Whoa, wait a minute. Here comes that tithing issue. You know about tithing, don't you? That's God's method of financing the church before bingo. Amen. Hey! Serving God requires a little bit, folks. Listen, I want a double helping of all that God has for me, but I don't want to get this and I don't want to get that and I don't want to serve here and I don't want... Hey, listen, why is it that if everybody's doing what God wants them to do, then we got to beg people to work in the nursery, drive a bus, do this, do that, mow the ground, whatever. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Am I become your enemy if I tell you the truth about sin? I have written in the pages of my Bible, and I guarantee most of you do too, this isn't anything old. It's not anything new. It's as old as I am. But I've got it written there, Brother Ron, sin to keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. Amen. In other words, stay in the book. See, a real tragedy is your lifestyle and practice of your life speak volumes of who you represent. I'm talking about the way you act, the way you look, the clothes you wear. Hello, preacher. Amen. Did I say this morning it's easier to spot a homosexual on the street than it is a Christian?
Yeah.
You know why? Because we allow the world to dictate to us what we're going to look like.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Hey, listen. I'm going to tell you something. I grew up in the age of miniskirts. Remember them, ladies?
Yeah.
I hope not. And my preacher used to say this. I never figured this out till I was already gone and out of, you know, married to my precious babe. He said, the shorter the skirt, the easier it's made. That's what he said. Think about that. It's just not short skirts. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. It goes for men as well as it do women. What you wear represents volumes of who you represent. And I'm telling you one thing. I have seen more belly buttons than I need to see.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, I have seen more hips and more cheeks than I need to see.
Amen.
That goes for men as well as it do ladies. Hey, listen, folks. If you're going to be a Christian, act like one. Listen, your lifestyle and practice lead your loved ones and your neighbors and your co-workers and your friends to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, or it turns them away, one or the other. And if they see that you haven't got anything that they already have, I mean, if they look at your life and they say, man, there's no difference in their life than mine, they just go to church on Sunday. Huh? Hey, listen, I've never gotten over the fact that there's nobody loves football more than I do. Maybe this preacher, I've heard about his football games. Y'all have to replace a lot of TVs in your house. Huh? And I am a Texas Longhorn fan because we finally did something in life. And I am a Dallas Cowboy fan. Hello. Is there any saved out there tonight? But I did root for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the left. And you know why I rooted for them? Because my wife likes them. And as soon as she's sanctified, she'll be all right. But I'm going to tell you something. You know, folks, here's 22 greasy, smelly, stinky, sweaty guys out there and 65,000 people in the stands and all of you at home. Hey, yeah, glory, oh, touchdown, touchdown. Did you see that, Pat? You come to church and you sit there like you just swallowed a banana. Huh? No enthusiasm, no excitement, no screaming and hollering and shouting over the things of God, but we can get involved in a football game? Man. Am I become your enemy if I tell you the truth about sin? You see, it's your sin and my sin that nailed my Savior to the cross. My Savior had to suffer and die because of my sin. Am I become your enemy if I tell you the truth tonight about this matter of sin? Let me go on quickly tonight. Am I become your enemy if I tell you the truth about salvation? See, the truth about salvation is simply you must be born again. If you want to go to heaven, you must be born again. There's no two ways about it. There's no long and there's no short. I mean, it is either black or white. There's no gray. You see, we've got too much gray in the pulpit today, preacher. Amen? Listen, folks. Either you are or you're not. I can remember when... Listen. When I was in high school, I played football. And we were playing in the state championship. And I can remember just before we ran onto the field. Man, that was a big stadium, and it was a state championship in Texas. I mean, football in Texas is a machine. I mean, it is something that they live and die and breathe for. High school football is everything. And I can remember as we were going to run on the field, there was a guy that had these little things on a stick, and our color... On this stick, and they're kind of little football players bobbing up and down. And he said, "Is you are, is you ain't. Is you are, is you ain't." I'm just quoting you, folks. "Is you are, is you ain't." I'll never forget that. I want to say to you tonight, in this matter of salvation, is you are, is you ain't. Amen. You're either saved and on your way to heaven, or you're not and you're on your way to hell, and there's no other way about it. You don't know anyone who lives forever. You will die and you will stand before a just and holy and righteous God in judgment. And the simple truth is this, in your natural state, you are not ready to meet God. The Bible says that we're born in sin and conceived in iniquity. And that we go away speaking lies. We're born in sin. Conceived in iniquity. Let me tell you something, folks. From the day we're born till the day we die, it is a fight, a struggle, a battle. That natural man. Let me prove that. How many of you send your children to wrong school? Oh, son, let me teach you how to lie. Let me teach you how to cheat. Let me teach you how to steal. I recognize that you're doing so good in life. Did you ever have to teach your children wrong? Or did we continually have to teach them right? And God in heaven is saying, "Hey, I didn't teach you that." Amen. "I didn't teach you how to do that. I didn't teach you how to do wrong. I want you to be right." Born in sin, conceived in iniquity. The Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're not ready to meet God in our natural state. There has to be something take place called the new birth. Simple truth is you're not good enough to go to heaven as you are. Another simple truth is, you know, if you were going to heaven just as you are, you couldn't get in. You have to be saved. Amen. You know, I know this is true. You know when the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. And you know when God's Spirit is convicting you. And you know when you're alive and the Holy Spirit is talking to you. And how many times do we refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit of God? Have a great service. I mean, man, a great and wonderful service. And the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. And you know you need to go to that altar. And you know you need to go down and pray. Even if it's to pray for someone else. And you refuse. Man, I am just standing right here. You can't make me move if you want to, God. Amen. You don't know what an encouragement you might be to the person next to you when you step out of that aisle. You have no idea what an encouragement you might be to the pastor who's been pleading and working and praying and study him all week long. Encourage him. Amen. Lift him up. Take him out to dinner sometime. Amen. Be a blessing. You know what? I'm going to tell you something, folks. I believe in pastoral authority. I believe in pastoral authority. And if my pastor told me to do something, if it wasn't illegal, immoral, or fattening, I'd do it. Amen? Because he said do it. You either accept him or you reject him. You have choices, and choices have consequences. You choose. Am I become your enemy if I tell you this truth about salvation? For all throughout the Word of God, all throughout the Bible, we find Him just leading and leading and leading and leading to us to salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Glory to God. What more do you want than that? And he that believeth on the Son hath light. He that believeth not shall not see light. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Each of these texts, we see that God has done all that He can do. God has given us eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ, to those who accept that salvation. But the choice is yours. See, God never made us robots, preacher. He didn't say, I'm going to make you do what you want to do. He said, no, I'm going to give you a choice. And you can choose. You can choose to go to heaven, or you can choose to go to hell. There are two kinds of people in this world. There's those that are punished and those that are pardoned. Amen? Two classes of people. Those who reject Him and those who accept Him. Adam, when he had sinned, God came to walk with Adam in the cool of the evening. God always walked with him. And that particular time when Adam had hid himself, God said, Adam, where art you? He knew exactly where Adam was. He just wanted Adam to know where Adam was. And he knows exactly where you are, but he wants you to know where you are. You see, God's holy, convicting Spirit, when it burdens your heart, when it speaks to that inner soul, when it speaks to you, God knows exactly where you are. He knew where Adam was. But my question tonight is, where are you in God's eternity? Where will you spend eternity? And where will your neighbor spend eternity? And where will your family spend eternity? And where will your friends spend eternity? Will you spend eternity in heaven or separated forever from God Almighty? Am I become your enemy if I tell you the truth? Let's stand tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Christians are praying tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed, and I would never close a meeting without asking this question. Do you know that you know that you know that if you were to die tonight, you'd go to heaven? If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure, I'm not positive, but I'd like to know. I want you to pray for me. I will. I'm here and I'm not saved. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I have a question in my heart. Would you pray for me? I certainly will. By the Holy Spirit of God, I will pray for you. Would you be honest with God tonight? Would you say, preacher, I'm not totally sure. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand. Let me see your hand tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not sure. A house full of saved individuals. How many of you say tonight, Brother Jerry, you know, the Holy Spirit of God has spoke to my heart. And I know that there's been times when I've lost the joy of my salvation. And I know there's times that I've let sin creep into my life. And perhaps there might be some unconfessed sin in my life. And I just need to be right with God. The book of Hezekiah said that when one got right, the whole congregation worshiped. I'd hate to be that one that was holding back the whole congregation. You say, I'm here tonight, brother, and I need you to pray for me. I need prayer. I need strength. I need encouragement. Would you pray for me tonight? Yes. 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 All over. Hey, I need God's touch from heaven tonight. Yes. You're bold enough and honest enough to raise your hand tonight. You see, this is not my invitation. This belongs to the Holy Spirit of God. I've already done my work. But as I begin to pray for you tonight, would you just make your way to this old-fashioned altar? Praise Him and thank Him and just let Him know that you need Him in your life. To be an encouragement to others. Father in heaven, you've seen the hands of the individuals here tonight. Lord God, you know that they need strength from you. You know they need encouragement from you. Father, you know their lives. You know their hearts. Some of them have unconfessed sin in their life. They need to bring it to the altar of God tonight and just lay it down. Father, bless them tonight, those that come. Those that need to hear from you, please, dear Father, be a blessing to them. Encourage them. Lift them up as they are an encouragement to this church. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You know why she just playing softly?